I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up? You're listening to the Alt in Our Stars podcast. That is the name of the show. My name is Chris Payne. I'm your host. So this is a podcast that I do every week for Billboard.com, if you're not familiar. And my guest this week is a musician called Lights. She makes some really, really engaging electronic-tinged kind of pop rock music. But honestly, if you're listening to this, I feel like you don't really need an introduction to how her music sounds because probably already into her. She has a very fervent online following, in-person following, just in general following, as I saw firsthand about 2 weeks ago, seeing her on the Paramore cruise, which is where I actually conducted this interview you're about to hear. And so to set the scene, we start off with a discussion about the Titanic, because you're in this formal dining hall that reminded us a lot of the actual Titanic. And from there, we go off and talk about Mexico, because that's where we were docked and explored there a little bit the day before. Talked a good deal about the cruise. Her next release, also, we chatted about. It's like a reimagination of her last album that she's releasing pretty soon. Chatted way back about how she broke through in MySpace almost a decade ago, how things have evolved since for her, what it's been like taking her 2-year-old daughter on the cruise. I saw them around a good deal. I think she was having a good time. Little Rocket, that's her daughter I'm talking about. And yeah, this was a really fun talk. I think you'll enjoy it. And if you like it, if this is your first time listening, you can subscribe to the podcast. You can search for the Alt in Our Stars on iTunes. Also, if you just are viewing this on billboard.com in the article, there's a link towards the bottom of the story where you can go and subscribe as well. And also, if you're there, you can listen to archived episodes. We had an episode last week with Paris, who I think you would like a lot. Really into that band right now, and had an interesting chat with them. So a lot of stuff to dig into in the archived episodes if you search the Alt in Our Stars on iTunes. So yeah, and also a star rating really, really helps us out, along with any kind of feedback, helps us out with everything we do here with the podcast. So hope you enjoy it. This is Lights on the Alt in Our Stars podcast. We'll just start with this. So yeah, okay. The Titanic.
Yeah, I grew up like unhealthily obsessed with the Titanic. I know everything about it. I know I may not know the exact numbers anymore, but literally knew the weight of the water per square centimeter.
I didn't know that.
Which is like 700 tons per square centimeter. That's how heavy it is down there, because there's 2.5 miles of water. Mm-hmm. 1.5 miles of water. My facts are all way off right now. But yeah, really obsessed with the Titanic. It gave me this immense fear and respect for ships and boats and mostly fear. So being on this cruise, it's like, okay, Center myself, enjoy yourself. It probably won't sink.
Yeah. Pop quiz. What was the captain's name?
I actually don't know the captain's name. Do you?
Only because it's really basic. I remember it.
What was it?
Is John Smith, I think?
No way. Come on.
Yeah.
That's Pocahontas' guy.
I think it's John Smith.
I like
kind of like
name.
A 90s, mid-90s movie crossover there.
Totally.
Because you remember him in the movie, right? Like with
yeah,
the
he went down with the ship, man.
That scene where he's just in the control room, like touching the wheel.
Yeah, yeah. So knowing he's going down with his baby. Well, the interesting thing about that movie that I think also made me put me in this really weird, uncomfortable place was the fact that the musicians felt it was their duty to sing everybody to death. And that was really sad. And it kind of feels like that's the way it is to be a musician. You have to be there for all the different moods and all the different emotions. And you have to play through it. Play through the pain. I mean, we were very windblown last night.
Yeah, seriously.
I had hair in my mouth. Mm-hmm. Played through it. It was great.
Yeah, I was joking with churches. They have a song called We Sink that they played really early in their set.
Oh.
And another called Under the Tie that they didn't play.
Oh, man. That's heavy. It isn't until you're on a boat that you realize how much you write about the ocean. I have a song called Same Sea.
Yeah.
I have lots of ocean
night.
References. Yeah. Like, hey, it's all positive, though. Mm-hmm. It's all very positive.
Yeah, so want to set the ambiance here. We're basically on the Titanic right now.
We are. We're in this... Well, you know, Ashley, who came with me right just now, she described it as a Fabergé egg. We look like we are inside a Fabergé egg.
First class.
First class Titanic. We're not going down with the ship.
First class. We're going to be one of those people on the first lifeboats.
Yep.
Women and children and really rich dudes who just get in the lifeboat,
totally.
Don't care.
You know what's so funny? That was such a horrible aspect of it, that it was so classed. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing this crazy fact that, you know, everybody who didn't get in the boats that wasn't first class, that survived in the water, ended up dying because of the cold, ended up dying of hypothermia. But one person that survived was the chef, because he was wasted. And he managed to survive because he was so drunk he didn't... I don't know if it's mind over matter or something, but
yeah.
He was so toasted that he didn't freeze and he actually survived.
Because normally I would think, like, even if you're not feeling it because you're so drunk, your body's still freezing, right?
Right, right. But I don't know. Maybe there's something that happens when you're drunk that can save your life. But also, I made it a goal of mine to find a Titanic survivor grave. Mm-hmm. So I found one in Toronto where I was living and visited her mausoleum and, like, brought a rose because I was so in awe of her experience.
Do you know her story?
I don't know her story. I just looked it up. And, you know, I think there's a website that lists all of... either living or dead survivors and where they ended up passing away. Mm-hmm. And there happened to be one in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no survivors left, right?
I don't think so. I think they're gone now.
Yeah, 1912.
1911, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it 1912? Did it... I thought it was 1911.
1912.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, that wouldn't really add up.
No, I think... Yeah, they would have to be 150. Mm-hmm. 120.
Yeah, so you know your history. Yeah.
Well, only with the things I'm interested in.
What else? What are the other interests?
In terms of history?
Yeah.
Probably, like, the history of Wonder Woman. I know about that.
Okay.
And I know about the history of Titanic. And for some reason, I know a little bit about Mayan history because I think it's really interesting. And that's the extent of the history I've actually actively researched.
So when you say your history, what do you mean?
My history?
Like heritage?
No, Mayan.
Oh, Mayan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, were you exploring yesterday in Mexico?
We went to, like, an eco park, and I've been there before, and there's, like, some ruins. I think, you know, all of that area mm-hmm. is filled with ruins. There was a giant road that crossed the whole empire that they've recovered parts of, and they're everywhere. They're scattered everywhere. So even if you build... Chances are, if you built a resort, there's ruins under that. You know, they're everywhere. It's pretty amazing, and it's just a really powerful civilization that just kind of disappeared. It's really haunting.
Yeah,
it's been talked about in Ancient Aliens many times.
So you're into Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
What is your view on aliens?
Oh, they totally are real. They're definitely all the aliens.
Not just the ancient ones.
Yeah, ancient alien astronomers. I totally believe that. That they have to, there has to be something else out there. There has to be, right?
I would think that, like, with the expanse of the universe,
yeah.
And just so many, because I always hear that, like, oh, there's thousands, millions of planets. Like, what are the odds of just none of them have life? So bad.
None.
Yeah.
None. There's actually a planet about 20.4 light years away called Gliese 581c, and it's I think they've actually since discovered a closer one, but for a long time, that was the closest Earth-like planet. And it was habitable. It was smaller than Earth. I think the year would have been like 80 days on Gliese, but it's too far for us to be able to reach at this point. But if we were able to establish cryosleep, we could get there, and perhaps there'd be life there because there's apparently water.
I mean, there's water on Mars.
There was.
Or there was.
Yeah.
Not currently.
There's traces of ice.
Okay.
Of past ice. Ice markings. Maybe the ice was the living entity.
Yeah.
Well, there is an ice. The moon. Is it Jupiter's moon, or one of the other planet's moons. It's called is it called Titus?
That is a moon. That's, yeah.
It's all ice. It's all ocean. Just a moving ball of water.
Okay.
But it's frozen.
So there's more stuff going on in the solar system.
We don't know anything. And we know a lot, and that's saying a lot, because we don't know anything. It's amazing. So there has to be life.
Basically.
Whether or not they built the Mayan civilization, I don't know. But
was there any kind of connection? Because I know there's all those connections with the pyramids and aliens. Is there any kind of, because you would probably know this from Ancient Aliens, was there any kind of Mayan alien connection?
Well, yeah, I mean, Ancient Aliens finds a way to connect everything, but
yeah.
They had technology that was apparently beyond their era, and they grew quickly, and I think there's a lot of the art that they used to represent their gods was comparable to a lot of alien representation on the other side of the planet that there was no way they could have been in contact with. They say the aliens taught them how to make the corn into the maize into something that was a complete protein, which is kind of a lost art now. So they're able to live off corn, basically.
Yeah.
And we can't do that anymore. I think there was a way. I think it was like they turned it into hominy and like did stuff that made it a complete protein. They had to mix it with calcium or something. I don't know. Anyways, the aliens taught them that.
Yeah.
There's no way they would know otherwise.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So to recap for people listening, we're on the last day of the Paramore cruise. Yesterday we were docked in Mexico. Cozumel, that's how you
Cozumel,
say it?
Cozumel, yeah.
I was saying it wrong up until like yesterday.
What did you call it?
Cozumel.
That's cute.
Yeah.
It's creative.
The first time I said it out loud, someone asked me like, oh, so where's the cruise going? I was just like,
Cozumel?
Mexico. Oh, where in Mexico? And I was like, it's one of the two, and I'm just going to go with one. I went with that one.
And fast is on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. We actually went over to the mainland yesterday. And I don't know if you've ever spent time in the Mayan Riviera, but it's awesome.
No, the extent of me yesterday was just doing some shops.
Nice.
Getting some local cuisine.
Nice. You got some Mexican food.
I did.
Good, good. What'd you get?
We kind of had like me and Trish. I was calling, you know, if you go to the Olive Garden, you get like the tour of Italy.
Yeah.
This was kind of like the tour of Cozumel. We had like the taquito, we had some tacos, we had a quesadilla.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
So a little tour of Cozumel.
I like that. Yeah. Like a little ceviche.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Powerful. That's the stuff.
Some Dos Equis.
Yeah.
$2 Dos Equis.
No way, that's so good.
Dollar
it's
for
so funny how heavily they peddle booze everywhere. We were on this ferry going to the mainland. It was a 45-minute ferry on the most tipsy-turvy boat I've ever been on. It was going sideways the entire time, very rapidly. It was actually giving out bags to everybody in case they were sick, something that happens a lot. And they were peddling pitchers of tequila on that. And I was like, who in their right mind is getting a pitcher of tequila? I'm sure people did, but
they're taking tequila out to a ship?
Well, the people were just walking around the boat selling tequila to the people on the ferry. I'm like, this is amazing. This would not fly anywhere else. There'd be a lot of legal logistics there.
Yeah, I feel like, well, out at sea, America is so crazy with laws.
Yeah.
Out on a cruise ship, kind of
used
up.
It was on a ferry.
Yeah.
A small ferry.
And then you go out to other countries and it's like,
they didn't ID anybody either.
Yeah.
A pitcher of tequila on a tipsy ferry to all ages. I mean, it's great. I would have, hey, if I was underage, I would have done it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were out there with Rocket, right?
Yeah. She was not interested in that, though. I think she felt sick, actually.
Aw.
Yeah.
She's what, two?
Yeah, she's turned two.
How's she liking the cruise?
It's hard to tell. I don't think she knows that she's on a cruise.
Okay.
I don't really know how much she is aware of her surroundings, but she seems to enjoy it, and that makes it easier for me. It's hard to go upstairs, though. You always have to wait for the elevator. And the thing is, the cruise ship, because there's stuff going on every level, it's different than a hotel. Every level, the elevator stops at, so sometimes the elevator gets backed up, and you have to truck the stroller up and down the stairs. But, you know, that's just the side effects of being a mother.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
What do you think she thinks of Light's music? Does she have, like, a favorite song do you sing to her?
She likes it. She was, like, born and raised on it.
Yeah.
And created on, like, when I was pregnant, I was writing that, my last record. So she heard all those songs from their inception. And I think there's a comforting aspect about it that she likes. I don't know what is her favorite yet. Sometimes I sing and I'm warming up and she tells me to be quiet. She goes, shh. All right. At least she can tell me.
Yeah, so Little Machines has been out like 2 years now, right?
It'll be 2 years in September.
Yeah, so has some time to sink in.
Yeah.
How do you, now that you've had some time to look back on it, how do you feel about the album now?
I love it. I mean, I love playing the songs. It's increasingly so over the years, I've learned to write music that is fun to play live, because that's such a big part of it. You end up putting a record out and then playing those songs for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And, on my first record, it was a lot of, like, mid-tempo songs, and there's slow songs and more emotive stuff, soundscapey stuff, and that sounds so good on a record, but some of the, you know, having an entire record full of that isn't as fun live. So you find a way, we found a way to reinvent the song sometimes to play so that they have a little bit more energy. And then as I kept going, you become more mindful of the fact that you're going to have to be playing these, and how is the crowd going to react to them, and how is it going to energize the set. And now the set's just like a blast for us.
Yeah, because I was at your After Dark pool deck set last
night. Yeah, super late.
Yeah,
midnight.
Yeah. It was a really great ambiance, I thought.
There was a good vibe.
Yeah.
Windy as hell. It almost blew me over.
Mm.
I was standing on the edge, actually, at the barricade, and I thought I was going to fall. It was pretty terrifying. It wasn't terrifying. It was thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. There was a good vibe. It's a good vibe on this ship.
Yeah, and like you were saying, with different vibes across an album making it more fun to play live, you do get the groove going on some songs. Like, there's dancing.
Yeah, there's dancing, and you find out how to use the art of suspense and build and payoff and sing-alongs and anthems and dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
That all plays into, like, a really cool trip, a cool journey for the show.
Yeah. I feel like Toes had a really good...
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we play that one second, and we do this extended version of it live that isn't how it is on the record, and you get everybody singing, and you kind of establish right away that, like, you got to use your voice for this one, you know? It's good. It's a good time to, like, bring everybody together. Carefully listening. Don't want to miss a thing. Keeping my eyes on you. Oh, capture my attention. I'm anticipating. I'm watching and waiting for you to make your move. Got me on the toe.
Yeah, how do you feel the Lights diehards have traveled with this cruise? Because you have, like, a very dedicated fan base.
Well, yeah, there's a few. The interesting thing is that, you know, Paramore announced this cruise without announcing the other artists.
Yeah.
And it sold out before they announced any of them. So I was really surprised that there are actually some of my fans on this ship, because they had no idea I was going to be on it. So there is crossover, and it's really powerful. And Paramore fans are super sweet. And it's just like, it's awesome. It kind of reminds me of my fan base, in that everybody's kind of misfits, and they find themselves in the fanship and being a Paramore fan. And that's their people. And there's just all different kinds of people from all over the world, of all colors and shapes, and it's awesome. And, you know, this is what brings people together. That's a really powerful thing.
Yeah.
And as a result, you know, everyone's just so happy to be here and so accepting and so supportive. And just, you know, a lot of Paramore fans, some people who haven't even heard of me, that are, you know, stopping me on the boat and taking photos and being super sweet and warm. And it's a good vibe.
Yeah, those alt kids, they're the best. That's what I like to call them.
Yeah, I guess they're alt kids. I mean, they're a little offbeat, and I think there's something important about that, you know, not feeling like you have to be a certain way to be accepted.
Yeah, because I did the cruise last time, and a lot of it is a carryover crowd from the first cruise.
Yeah, a lot of people did the first one as well.
Yeah, so obviously the Paramore diehards. And I believe, because Tegan and Sarah was the main support the first time.
Yeah.
And I think they were announced while tickets were still being sold. So it's a lot of Tegan and Sarah fans too on the storm.
Interesting, yeah. Tegan and Sarah, I love them. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, the last cruise, it's just such a cool idea. I mean, I know it's not the first time someone's done a music cruise, but there isn't much in this genre in the cruise world.
Yeah, cruises,
you know,
for young people.
They're always kind of for older demographics, and there's something cool about it. Casino's pretty dead, though.
Yeah, I would say so. Tegan and Sarah were hanging in the casino last time.
Really?
Yeah, just kicking it.
That's the place, man. That's the zone. There's like a Crystal World slots machine. What was that slot machine called? Crystal Vibes? She took a picture for me. So I'm going to be slotting it up, probably. That sounds bad. Let's see. Oh yeah, you see that? That's right up my zone. That literally looks like the cover of Crystal Chronicles, the Final Fantasy games, which is a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, you're really into gaming, right?
Yeah, you know, I haven't played in the last year as much as I would have liked, but I'm such a fan. I mean, I've played WoW for 6 years, and I love the experience, and it's such an important escape to keep your mind young and open. I think a lot of people haven't tapped into that. People just, like, dismiss it as something for younger people, but it's such a powerful art. It's amazing to lose yourself in, like, the world of Skyrim, or, like, you know, when we were passing Cuba, passing Havana, and even when we were on Cozumel in the mainland, it reminded me of Assassin's Creed 4, and it just brings back all these amazing memories. I have so many amazing memories from playing games. It's such an immersive experience. So powerful art that I think, you know, more people need to tap.
Yeah, and it probably helps a lot. I can speak to this how I feel like working in media, it's very therapeutic to have hobbies that are completely separate from it.
For sure.
To have a hobby that's just not part of music at all.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, music is an escape for a lot of people. When it becomes your when it becomes your job, I mean, it's still a powerful escape. When I sit down and play my acoustic, when I get on stage, it's like adrenaline. You don't even think about anything, but you do have to find something else. And I have a few of those aspects, and gaming is one of them. Very cool. Do you play any games?
No, I'm not a gamer at all.
Oh, never? Like, never even, like, Nintendo 64?
No, When I was a kid, I had Sega Genesis. Cool. I was really into that, like, grade school. I had PS2 in, like, middle school.
Nice. So you played.
Yeah, a little bit.
You had your, you rubbed shoulders with the games.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's good. It's a good start.
Yeah, I was, around those times, I was really into sports as a little kid, playing sports, watching sports. Video games was kind of like a side hobby.
Right.
And then when I got super into music, like early high school, it was around this time that kind of took its place.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. There's lots of sports games.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But, you know, did you play N64 at all? Did you ever play like Mario Kart?
Yeah.
We whipped that out the other day actually on our like 80-inch TV.
Oh, nice.
It was so bad looking. It was 8 pixels.
The pixels were like 2 inches wide.
I was like, I can't see anything right now. I would just have to buy a small TV in order to like really enjoy it again. But it was a good time to whip it out. It was very nostalgic. I remember all the shortcuts.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you bought like some encyclopedia book of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I have lots of WoW art books and history books, and I actually just recently posted the one. They just sent it to me in the mail. I've become close with one of the guys from Blizzard who's just been such a good friend and such a support, and I guess they recognize how much support I'd given the game for so many years, and they actually named an in-game item after me.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Called the Pockcenter Leggings of Lights. They're Holy Paladin legs. They're a rare drop, but I know a few people that have them. I never rolled a paladin. I was a death knight and a warrior.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. my roommate, pretty sure plays it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to run this stuff by him.
Yeah, run it by him.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just sent me that as a gift, and I was like, this is amazing, because it's sort of like, it's just a chronology of the game, the history, and
okay.
the art that goes with the maps, and the lore that goes behind it. It's just, there's so much. I actually visited Blizz once and met, you know, some of the developers and storytellers and weapon designers. And actually, you know, I have a Warcraft sword as a tattoo, and I met the guy who designed the original piece, and it was just a okay. really cool experience. And I think it was weird for him. He's like, oh, interesting. But
it's like someone showing you lyric tattoos.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess it would be similar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's just cool. There's a whole... it's a very creative space, mm-hmm. and everybody is super close where they work, so they can all really communicate on the project, and you can really sense that in a game. It's really good.
Yeah. Do you think there's a lot of crossover between WoW fans and your fan base?
There's definitely fans of mine that play. I think, you know, as we are all getting older, we're all kind of growing up together, and everyone's kind of getting into their careers now, so it's sort of like a thing that we all used to do together, because we had Lights Guild. There's still a few members of Lights Guild that still actively play,
okay.
but we were a pretty big guild, and we would all have meetups in the games and take photos, because you can take screen caps, you know, and you get mm. together. It's kind of like this virtual hangout platform, and it was really cool. But yeah, as life kind of takes over, you run out of time to play WoW, because it's a lot of time commitment.
Yeah,
it's a lot of long lasting raids, and they've actually shortened the queue times and stuff for raids, so you actually don't have to commit 7 hours of your day. You can do it in pieces, which is a really cool advancement in the tech with it. But
wow, so it took that long? So you would have to uninterrupted devote 7 hours yeah. to a raid?
Oh yeah, back in the day.
Wow.
I mean, before I joined WoW, just before, you had to get together with 40 people to do a 40-man raid. There's 25-man raids and 40-man raids, and you actually had to connect to that many people by yourself. Now there's like queues you can join. You can just be with people you don't know. Mm-hmm. But it used to be that that was the only reason you'd be in a guild, is to get together a plan with the right amount of people, so you could actually get all the good gear. But it's become a lot more, I guess, casual player friendly.
Yeah, user friendly
over the years. Yeah.
Wow, I'm learning so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really cool. It's just awesome. They just keep going and keep coming up with amazing content. And I'm not paid by them. I don't know why I'm like raging about them. I just it was such an important part of my life. I have lots of tattoos represented. And it was cool.
Yeah, and you shouted out MySpace on stage last
night.
Yeah,
I think some of the people on this cruise are too young to have been on MySpace.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, and that's like so much of what got me into music.
MySpace was the jam. And it is where I got my start. I remember putting song back on there. I started my MySpace in 2006. And it's 2016 now. That's 10 years ago.
10-year anniversary.
Yeah, man.
10-year retrospective.
Yep, very, very.
And which was the song that...
It was Last Thing on Your Mind. Okay. That was kind of the first song that started drumming up stuff. And then February Air was around that time as well. Those were the first two songs. And I remember, like, I would see, you know, Emmy Rossum had that on her MySpace page, had one of my songs on her MySpace page. And, like, Zach Braff, yeah, he had one of my songs on his MySpace.
And
I was like,
connection.
Hey, you know? So, and that was originally where Old Navy first found my music and ended up putting it in one of their ads. They put three of my songs in their ads. And that's what really launched everything for me. So MySpace was the place to find music, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's places similar now, but nothing's the same as MySpace was.
There's just so many more similar avenues that try to do, like Hype Machine.
Yeah, and there's Spotify where you can discover people. For me now, the place I most discover new artists is Shazam, because playlisting is such a prominent form of showing new music. When I'm walking through stores or random little boutique shops and I hear a song I like, a Shazam, and I'm like, oh, this is someone I've never heard of. And that's, for me, the best avenue of finding new music at this point.
Are you on the payroll for Shazam?
I should be. I should be on the payroll for Spotify and Shazam. But they're both great.
For the record, the podcast officially unsponsored.
That's amazing.
We're just throwing out what we're passionate about.
Well, exactly.
You can't hate on that.
It's important. It's important, new media stuff, and everything. You have to think about that stuff when you're an artist too, me knowing what I discover music on helps me decide where I prioritize my time too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's cool. It's just interesting. Everything moves so quickly and changes and evolves. And you just have to go with your gut, man.
Yeah. Because in general, it seems like Lights is just so tied to the internet. I guess any artist is now,
yeah.
But you, I think, a lot more so.
Yeah, I mean...
And it's good, I think. I think it helps a lot.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think people like to know if the person they're a fan of is a good person. And I know for a fact I've had some bands that I've been a fan of that ended up meeting and they were jerks. And I can't listen to music anymore. So yeah, that plays a big part. I don't know if it used to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
When people didn't have the opportunity to know the artists that they were fans of, it was just like, oh, I like their music. I don't really care about anything else. And now people have the opportunity to know. And if you're not, you know, if you don't treat people right, it affects the way they hear your music. It's interesting. Now you can't be an asshole.
Yeah.
With everybody knowing everything and people talking, and it matters. You know, every little thing you do matters. And your fans need to know that you care about them, you know.
Yeah, but on the flip side, when someone's really positive, like I was chatting with Churches about this the other day, you can kind of have this whole ethos, like a lifestyle band or artist.
Yeah, you can now. It's amazing. There's definitely lifestyle. I mean, Paramore is an example of it.
Yeah.
It's a way of life. It's awesome. I like it.
Basically what we're in right now.
That's what we're in this cruise of music and just this way of life, just freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Miss beats. I like it.
Those alt kids. The name of the podcast is The Alt in Our Stars. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, I've definitely seen that a ton online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Glad to connect with a fan of the podcast.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome. You know, it's funny with podcasts. You don't know what the people look like.
Yeah, right?
That's so funny. I wouldn't recognize you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you hear people's voices. That's so funny. And you can recognize voices so easily. Keep you, I'll keep you at your best. The last thing on your mind. Cause I don't need your mess. I'll be the one to keep you. One disaster less. The last thing on your mind. The last word on your breath. I'll be the one to keep you.
So right after this, interviewing for the podcast, ex-ambassadors,
yeah,
who you go way back with, what should I ask them?
Oh,
what's,
man.
What's like the insider way back question to ask ex-ambassadors?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Ask Sam, when did his moves get so sexy?
Seriously, right? Because I saw them the first night with the sax.
Yeah, I mean, he has sexed up so much. They're amazing. I've always loved them. We've taken them out on two tours before they blew up, and they were just like, I just love listening to the music every night before we went on stage. They always got the crowd warmed up. Great songwriters, great performers, and Sam's always been a great performer, but there's like an extra dosage of sexy lately.
When did you get sexed up?
Yeah. So just ask him about it.
Saxed up, sexed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Has the sax always been so central in their performance?
I don't know, actually. I mean, I think it's probably increased over the years, but I could be
the
wrong.
The sax
is increasing? Yeah, and the sex is increasing, the sax is increasing. You could ask them about that, too.
Good to get this insider take.
Yeah, they're great, great band. They're awesome. And we've gone through thick and thin with them. And I'm so proud to see them where they are because they're such good people and so deserving of it. And it's nice to see, going back to what we were talking about earlier, good people deserve the good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I was on our last tour last fall that they were supporting us. And was it last fall? I think that was last fall, right? Yeah. I know, it was last fall, and they're like, oh, yeah, we have this on this off day. I was like, what are you guys doing on the off day? And they're like, we're shooting this, like, Jeep thing. And I'm like, well, good luck. And everything went off from there.
Yeah, and both you played Billboard Hot 100 Fest.
Yeah.
Shout out.
That was fun. That was shout out to Billboard. Yeah, that was fun. Is that was crazy lineup. Like, that was a good vibe. There's not many, like, pop festivals.
Exactly.
And that was really cool because, I mean... There's tons of alt festivals and tons of rock festivals, but I don't know. Pop is like, you don't get to see pop lineups like that. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I am under the payroll of Billboard, so that's I think that's very out there. So we can keep the Underdog Pop Fest. Like, Justin Bieber never gets a festival. He never gets any love.
The reality is like, when did Taylor Swift play a festival? You know, yeah. Like, there aren't that many festivals that big pop names play. And to see that many in one was cool. Because, I mean, it's just so powerful. I love pop music. Mm-hmm. I'm such a fan of it. And, yeah, it was a fun festival to be part of.
Yeah, and so you have a new EP, album, mini album coming out soon.
Yeah, it's Midnight Machines. It's I just announced it a few days ago. It's coming out April 8th. And it's basically six songs from Little Machines. It's not necessarily acoustic. I've always done acoustic versions of my records, but I wanted to offer that in more. So we brought in this, you know, string quartet and brought my band in. And we basically just did like these late night, that's why it's called Midnight Machines, late night sort of almost drunken versions of the songs that are just really emotive and beautiful. And just wanted to take the songs that you would least expect to be that way and make them that way. So, I mean, the Midnight Machines opens with Up We Go, and it's such a different version of it that you hear it and you wouldn't know what it was right off the top. And there's something special about that, to show the songs in that light. The lyrics take on this whole new meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it suddenly is heard in a different way. And that's cool. I've always been empowered writing songs like that that can be translated in a few different ways. And then there's two unreleased tracks on it.
Okay. And you're doing a little tour, right?
Yeah, just 4 days. We're doing LA, New York, Vancouver, and Toronto in May.
Give that Canada love.
Yeah, man. Gotta. Hometown. I got a lot of hometowns. Mm-hmm. Who am I kidding?
You're in Toronto now, right?
I live in Vancouver now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I lived in Toronto for 8 years. So Toronto feels like home. Vancouver feels like home. I was born in Timmins. I grew up in North Bay. Spent some time living in the Philippines, in Jamaica, Southern Ontario. So I have all these places I have all these places when I go, I'm like, this is home. It's great. Lots of homes.
Like, Drake has so many hometowns.
Yeah, multi-hometowns. But he's all about the six, man.
But he like, has his own festival in Houston.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What's it called? That's adorable.
And OVO is in Toronto. That's in Toronto.
Yeah, Drake has single-handedly... I mean, there's a lot of factors that made Toronto amazing, but Toronto is such a great city right now. And I was doing I was in LA for a while, and everyone's like, oh man, I love Toronto. It's the new hot spot.
Yeah.
Six. I think there's Drake billboards every 10 feet in Toronto. It's great.
Oh, I mean, there better be. If there wasn't, I'm
disappointed. It's his town, man. There's a lot of good music coming from Canada, though. There's tons. Like, I mean, The Weeknd, Bieber, Shawn Mendes, like, stuff that's doing really well. And then, like, Grimes, who's killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Tegan and Sarah, Crystal Castles. There's, like, tons of talent from Canada that are shining.
What do you think of the new prime minister?
He's a babe.
Yeah?
Yeah. And if he legalizes weed, that would be awesome. And otherwise, we'll see. I mean, I don't follow politics that closely. I wish I knew more about it, I guess, but I don't know yet. We'll see.
Yeah. From all that I've heard, he seems a lot more progressive than the usual, especially
he's
for
young,
Americans.
Man. He's he's fresh mind. We'll see what he can bring. But it definitely has people talking about a babe prime minister.
Yeah. Objectify the male president, prime minister.
Turn those tables around,
yeah,
man.
Right?
You know? Women have been objectified for too long. Shout out International Women's Day today.
Yeah.
Time to flip it around on men, right?
Yeah. Men can take some objectifying.
I think so.
We're saying Sam's sexing it up.
Right. Yeah.
We can objectify him a little bit.
Definitely. I'll objectify every dude in this on this boat.
That's the pull quote right there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this.
No problem. Thank you. It was nice to hang on this Fabergé egg with you.
Yeah. Shout out to the Titanic.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Billboard and Titanic. Out.
So that's it. I really hope you enjoyed that one. First of a series of several podcast interviews that I conducted on the Parahoy cruise. More coming in the coming weeks. So check out billboard.com every Friday around 12 p.m., which is where I share this podcast. Every single, each and every week on billboard.com, Alt in Our Stars.
I mentioned at the top of the show that there's archives if you search on iTunes or just click the link in the bottom of the story on billboard.com. You can go through all the old past episodes of the Alt in Our Stars podcast. Last week had the band Paris on, had a great chat. We talked about things like this. Yeah, have you guys done anything for the second album yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Things are happening.
Things are popping off.
Yeah, we can't say too much, but...
Whatever you can say.
We are working on it.
Always working on new stuff, so...
Yeah. We've all got little, like I said, the little MIDI keyboards and Logic on our computer, so we're always kind of working on new material and stuff. We have, like, a studio set up in the back of the bus on this tour, which is fun and new.
So, yeah, like I said, a new episode of the Alt in Our Stars drops every Friday. Check back next week for another interview podcast that I conducted while on the Paramore cruise. Hope you enjoyed this one. Until next week, have a good weekend, everybody. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.